on Radio 2 of an evening, the choice of David Tennant, who's my co-host for the evening, and Hello. That was the next day. So that was the, that's the song then that you, or not the song, the whole album.
The whole album, that, that song, but that, as that's the opening track of the album, that, and as I heard it sort of sparking up there, I thought, oh, it just puts a prickle down the spine, gets ready for the evening ahead, yeah.
That nice plait that you're wearing as well, nice pigtail. So you've got, it's quite a long, lengthy pigtail. This is for the role of Richard the
Second. Yeah, I've got, I'm sporting some fairly serious hair extensions for playing Richard the Second, which is, as you say, put into a nice plait when I'm off stage.
You look like my 5-year-old daughter, but with kind of, you know, a beard.
Yeah.
So not entirely like Coco.
Yeah, well. are you quite a good platter?
I'm getting better, yeah. Quite enjoying, because I've had two boys before her, and so all of a sudden having a girl who'll actually let me do her hair, I'm really enjoying that.
Right, yeah. You can't plait your own, I've discovered. You really need help. It's really difficult to plait your own hair extensions.
Wow. I bought cake. Oh, you demanded cake. Let's do that.
I wouldn't call it a demand.
In the diva that you are.
You just said, what do you want? And I said, let's have tea and cake. And you have done us proud. Okay. There is a box of extraordinary cakes here.
Just run through what you can see in front of you.
Well, I'm certainly seeing a slice of carrot cake. That must be carrot cake. It's deep, rich, browny carrot cake. Lovely. Mm. Two serious-looking chocolate brownies. They are slabs of...
Dense chocolate.
And two big, juicy... raspberry and white chocolate muffins.
That's right, yeah, they're huge.
I mean, they are huge.
So take your pick, which one do you want?
I don't know where to begin with this. Why is there only one bit of carrot cake and two of everything else?
It was the only one that was left.
Oh, well, you should have that then.
No, because you keep focusing on the carrot cake and you keep mentioning I'm sensing you want the carrot cake.
Don't psychologically try and outwit me.
I'm Darren Brown, the Darren Brown of Radio 2.
The Darren Brown of cake. I think, what do you want?
I couldn't possibly choose because
that means you want the carrot cake as well.
Well, I kind of do, yeah.
Yeah, so have the carrot cake. I'll have a muffin.
I'm going to break it into half.
Oh, okay. Very democratic. Your producer's sitting here silently, like she doesn't get to choose.
No, yeah. You can have a third of carrot cake. I'm passing it back over to you. I've got a tiny bit of carrot cake.
Do you want some carrot cake?
No, thank you.
Have the chocolate brownie then, or the white chocolate.
You can have a brownie.
This is the way to do a show, really, isn't it? And now we're going to not be able to speak.
Almost everything should be done with cake.
I think so, because it's very, very civilised.
Yeah.
And we haven't got forks either, so I'm sorry.
No, we don't have tea in china cups, which we really should have. We've got tea in paper cups. You don't even have a cup of tea. You can't have tea without cake.
It's over here.
Oh, there you go.
It's fine. Look, tea's here. So when you met up with Matt and you were there in Cardiff, presumably you had a chance to just sort of go, isn't it weird being the doctor and doesn't it affect your life and can kind of compare notes?
Do you know what? I'm going to do this through cake, obviously. It's going to be lovely. Radio 2 listenership.
It's really nice carrot cake.
Yeah, it's really good. It's the topping of a carrot cake.
It's kind of all over my fingers.
That makes all the difference, doesn't it? I think it's lovely to hear people eating really close into a microphone. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
No, we won't be putting people off their food or their evening meal at all.
No.
So you did.
Yeah, we did, actually. It is quite a peculiar thing, Doctor Who.
Mm.
Obviously, there are lots of actors who do lots of jobs, and therefore, as actors, you do have sort of common ground, and even if that common ground is about sort of getting recognised in the supermarkets, which is another kind of weird thing that you don't get taught about at drama school, that you have to kind of learn on the hoof. But Doctor Who's another level up from that because of the kind of attention it gets and the kind of enthusiasm it attracts. And the fact that it's sort of bigger than the show itself, it has a kind of profile. When people who've never seen Doctor Who still sort of know you from it. It's remarkable the number of people who come up to me and go, I don't watch your programme, but sign this. But it has that kind of reach and it does change your life. There's no getting around it. And there's very few people you can really properly have a conversation with that about. Was great to just... And also, you know, you don't get to hang out with other doctors that much either. So it was nice just to... Just to go, and how do you find doing that? And what's that bit like for you and all that?
Did he ask for any advice? Did you have any advice to give him? Or was there one thing you had in common that you found particularly got comfort from each other?
I think just the kind of the commonality of the experience, really. It was quite... And also the fact that he was preparing by then to move on. I mean, he's already finished his last story now. So he's staring life after Who in the face.
So I guess you were able to tell him what that
I
would
guess,
be like.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Tell him it was all, everything was going to be okay, and life would be fine without it.
You're the only two people who've played the Doctor as well in this modern age when it has, you know, there's been such fanaticism. There's a lot of nostalgia, and people look back at Tom Baker and Patrick Troughton and John Pertwee, but they didn't have it in the modern age like you
did. I guess not. I suppose it's the modern age is got that kind of sort of all pervasive media thing. We were talking about the idea that you have to sort of watch what you do a bit when you're the Doctor. Nobody particularly asks you to, but you're just aware that there's a certain moral bar you're expected to attain, and you would be treated very unforgivingly these days if you were caught drunkenly staggering out of clubs or worse, you know. And I think back in the 70s, I think perhaps some of the chaps back then did live a little bit more of a rock and roll lifestyle, which you sort of wouldn't be allowed to get away with now.
That's it, they got away with it and you absolutely couldn't. It was very strange. I remember when Matt Smith took over being the Doctor and he went to Glastonbury and there were photographs of him and Daisy at Glastonbury, and it was like, no, the Doctor doesn't go to Glastonbury. I know you've been laughing at yourself, but you know, just seeing that photograph of him, it didn't compute. It wasn't quite right. And also, you know, for young kids who are watching, it must have been quite strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, go to Glastonbury and have a nice time, but
don't snog.
It's weird. You get a sort of scrutiny that it's very hard to sort of entirely rationalise and feel comfortable with. So we just compared notes. There was a sort of comfort in that.
Okay, let's play another track and Eat Cake. We'll play the Manic Street Preachers next, and this is Anthem for a Lost Cause.